As mentioned, the title of my sermonette today is Excuses. And I've got a small story to tell you. The church conference is coming up this week, on Thursday. This week, I'll be flying out to California, and I'll be attending that. The conference gives us an opportunity to get together to discuss church matters that affect how we are doing the work. It's really important that we do it. We take it very seriously. And we talk about all kinds of things, everything ranging from the status of the church areas to our internet presence, to the interpretation of some difficult passages in the Bible. And beyond the business of the church, it gives us an opportunity to get together and connect on an individual level. Since many of us live in different places throughout the world, literally, it gives us an opportunity to meet one-on-one in ways that we don't normally get to do. Occasionally, of course, we get to do that during the feast. And because of that, it's not uncommon for myself and others I know to reference the conference mistakenly as the feast. But I digress. It is the conference. But a good time and an important time as well. Now, until COVID restrictions came into place a few years ago, we would all travel to meet together as a matter of course. We would just do that. It wasn't even something we considered doing in many other ways for those who were able to do it. And for the past 2 years, however, travel has been restricted and we have made accommodations and met remotely and discussed things on our computer screens using the technologies available to us that so many of us have become familiar with. We couldn't meet in person, but at least it gave us an opportunity to see each other's faces and discuss these important things. Now, this year, many of these travel restrictions have been lifted, so the opportunity to meet in person became possible again. Yet, when I was faced with the choice to travel, without even really thinking very hard about it, I decided that I would once again this year meet up again remotely. Why, you might ask? Well, I came up with all kinds of excuses, not even realizing I was making excuses. First of all, traveling is a pain. Even when we're going to a destination that's fun, it takes time, takes effort. I have just started a new job, did that in February, and as a result, I don't have a lot of paid time off saved up. So I need to save time, of course, for the feast. That's very important to me, and I don't want to put that in jeopardy. I also happen to be super busy at work and in all other corners of my life. I had made up my mind without even really being conscious of it that it was just easier to stay home because it was inconvenient enough, and so many constraints seemed to make it impossible. Fortunately, I have a wife who talks some sense into me now and then, more frequently than I care to admit. She called me out on the reasons that I was choosing not to travel and reminded me about the value and the importance of connecting. And that flipped a switch. And instead of thinking of reasons why I couldn't go, I started thinking about what it would take to actually do the travel. Turns out that all of the hurdles that I had seen in front of me were only about six inches tall and quite trivial to jump over. I just had to change my outlook. It's easy to say, brethren, that we can't do something. There are always reasons why we can't do something. Or rather, we might phrase it, there are many reasons why we won't do something. But God didn't call us into his family so that we would let a little bit of resistance in life stop us from progressing. We are in training right now as Christians, and training is simply hard by design. We don't train so that we can stay status quo. Training makes a man or a woman want to stop because that is where we grow. Training is about growth. God is not training us to stop when we see obstacles. He is training us to keep investing ourselves in virtuous goals. And the only way that we can do that is by continuing to try, even when we find many reasons why we don't think we can. Let's begin in Ecclesiastes 11 and read verses 1 through 6. Solomon had some great things to say. This is probably my favorite book in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 1, beginning in verse 1. We read, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, finding excuses. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know how much will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." We should all know enough now to believe that God works in our lives individually, hearing our prayers, understanding our hearts, knowing our deepest needs and desires. If our God, who created all things, who controls the circumstances of the world around us, things majestic and mysterious, if that God is working with us, why are we stopping? We are naive to think that he will not bless our efforts if we put some work into something, and when we do it in accordance with his will, that he will bless us. If we cannot make progress in our lives, we cannot make progress in our lives if we don't take risks, if we don't invest what we have. If we want to move forward, we have to do something. We have to sow our seed, have to use our hands, not withhold them. We need to try to do things if we want to give God an opportunity to help us out. If we don't do anything, he can't bless our efforts. Let's go to James 2 and read verses 14 through 18. James 2, beginning in verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' Brethren, talk is cheap. Giving lip service to God by expressing faith in the Lord, but choosing not to come out of sin, makes faith void. Our faith is proven by how we act, by what we do. Do we have faith in God that he is going to fulfill his promises for us? All we have to do is what it says, what this Bible instructs us to do. It makes me shake my head when I hear of Christian faith without any obligation to obedience. It doesn't make any sense. That's not what the Bible says. Our belief that God will help us through the hard times, that God will help us prosper, that he will help us overcome our sins, overcome this world, that needs to be backed up with action that demonstrates our faith in those claims. Let's go over to Proverbs 16 and read verses 1 through 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. These three proverbs taken together here give us some insight into how we can go from thought to action to fulfillment. We are free to express our desires. God wants us to be individually unique. That's the way He created us. It is good to be who you are. And when we express our plans and our desires, we must be subject to God. That has to be how we operate. We think spiritually, we function spiritually. And we can only do that by considering God's will for us. Everything is according to His will, as we read here. He understands what spirit we have when we express our desires and when we make plans. Is our spirit in expressing our desires in accordance with His will, is it virtuous or is it selfish? Is it worldly? He knows, sometimes when we don't even know. But when we are aligned with God, that's when our thoughts that express a desire may come to fruition. But all of it takes work. We have to commit our works to God. If we just wish for things and don't do anything about it, it's impossible to get a result. There is no effect without a cause. By committing our efforts to God, we will get favorable results, especially and exclusively when our will is aligned with His. We are all in a training program right now, which is designed to lead us to success. Success in many ways, which include blessings in our lives now, but ultimately the blessing of salvation that has been promised to us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. This training program will test our limits, where we find excuses for why we can't do things. But we need to think, we need to believe, and act differently. When we experience those moments when we are making excuses for why we can't progress, it can be powerful instead to respond with a different way of looking at things. We can look at things the way God does. God's arm is not short. Nothing is impossible to Him. Instead of saying, "I can't because," fill in the blank, we can say instead, "I can if." And then think about that if statement. Sometimes we need to follow a path, but when we think about what's possible, we think with God's mind, especially when it is in accordance with His will. For example, I might say I can't retire in 5 years. Well, I can retire in 5 years if I have enough money. But, you know, I can't have enough money to retire in 5 years. Well, I can if I invest wisely. I can't invest wisely, though. Well, I can invest wisely if I spend some time learning about investment. Well, I can't learn about investment because it's complicated. Well, I can learn about financing if I start watching some YouTube videos about it. And now it gets ridiculous, right? I can't watch YouTube videos. Yeah, right. I think you can. It gets a little ridiculous, but by following that train of thinking, we think with God's mind about how to make things possible. You see how this goes. One thing leads to another, but the secret sauce is that we have God working with us. I can't becomes I can because I have God on my side. Because when I put myself to work in accordance with His will, He makes things possible.